Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Make the Day Awesome podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Luther, and today it is all about our special guest, Jeremy Schreifels. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Josh.
Good morning. So Jeremy is one of our fellow Apex brothers. He's a music producer, an author, a realtor, coffee connoisseur slash addict. What else do you do, Jeremy?
You know, that's really funny. I got this little character guy that I had somebody build for me. I'm holding all these things in my hand with a house and these drums, because touring live as a drummer is one of the other things that I do, and drinking coffee and this new adventure of being an author. And really what I came down to is just like, I'm more just like your creative partner. I'm creatively helping you solve your issues. I'm creatively helping you find a home, creatively filling your producing juices with coffee, and giving you an opportunity to bring to life whatever that means creatively in your world, because not everybody's a musician, but everybody has a heartbeat. So we all have some sort of rhythm to live by and to move through.
Bro, that's deep. Everybody's got a rhythm in them.
When I'm talking like from stage, I talk a lot of bit of, like, everybody says, well, I'm not a musician. And yet everybody says, wow, it'd be really awesome to be a drummer. And then I just make everybody in the room who has a heartbeat raise their hand. And the reason I do that is because if you have a heartbeat, you have rhythm. Therefore, you are a drummer. And because that's the number one job of a drummer, is to keep time and to have a pulse. And if you check, as long as no one's falling over in the room, everybody has a pulse. Therefore, you are a drummer and you have rhythm. And so you can check your rhythm or your pulse of the day anytime.
Dude, I love that. I love that. So yeah, dude, you got a lot going on there. We're going to come back to everything that you're doing. Let's talk about where Jeremy came from. Like, tell us a little bit about their backstory.
Yeah. I was thinking about this morning because I knew that we were going to be talking today, and you're like, I knew you were going to ask for my story. And I think that my story really began in kind of the middle teenage years. We're all impressionable at that time.
Very.
That's where kind of my music journey began and started kind of as a, you know, like everybody does. Your parents make you take elementary band and that's your entry point. And then does everybody continue from there? Most people don't, but I did. And so that kind of started my musical journey.
Okay.
And then something happened to me in high school. Home life wasn't super amazing. I had separated parents for a period of time. I had a younger brother and a younger sister who was 10 years younger than me. And so kind of a challenging space in my world. Not a lot of positive things, actually a lot quite negative. I don't think I've ever shared this before out loud. However, like, was very big into alcohol and partying and drinking since I was like about 13.
Okay.
Which is maybe a little on the young side for most people, but that's where I ended up, based on, you know, the friends we hang around with, the company that we keep, and the things that we think at that time in our life are driving us towards it. But then I had a moment when I was 16, kind of got the driver's license, driving the Chrysler New Yorker Fifth Avenue with the cool leather seats and the tape deck. And that day was just the day that I thought was my day. And by my day is, that was the day I thought that I was going in the river and I was taking that car with me. As I was about to make that turn, and which I did physically turn to go off the road, the car hit the gravel and skidded and ended up in a stop. And to this day, I am still trying to figure out what the song was that was playing, but this, whatever it was that was playing in that moment, put me back on the road. and maybe decide to not go off that road anymore. And that kind of is where music took over. It was one of two pivotal moments in my life that music changed it and changed the trajectory and pulled me out of much of the negativity that I was in and the group of people that I was in, and dove me into a group of people and a community of people that was all music driven. So marching band, okay, and jazz band and pep band and orchestra, like all of those things that we can be a part of. I stopped doing sports, and that's just kind of, it became my life, which pulled me out of a really negative space and gave me an opportunity to see some light and see some forward movement. Sorry. And it was shortly after that that I actually started dating my wife, who I have been with since 1995. What is that? Almost 27 years. We've been
27 years.
Been together. We'll be married 22 years this summer. So that's even more amazing. But as we moved into that, I went to college and did kind of the full ride music scholarship thing on a performance degree, which I was super thankful and blessed to receive from a state school here in Minnesota, and kind of lived the party musician college life for a couple of years. Yet did all of the work. And about 2 years into that, I had a car accident where my wife and I actually got sideswiped by a semi, and I ended up in the hospital. And it was at that time I figured out that I had two tears on my left hand, and I thought my playing career and my music career was done for the rest of my life. And so I had to change my degree from a performance degree to a composition degree, because at that point in time, I couldn't even hold a can of soda in my left hand without it just falling out, because there was just no strength or anything. And so again, here I went diving quite deep into a very dark time, into a dark moment. And for about 2 years, just I sat in that space, all while trying to raise a new family and newly married and a whole change in my headspace and career. It was a couple years after that, that once I got through the initial shock, initial beating of myself and the initial drowning of sorrows, so to speak, if you want to label it as such, I showed up at a church, and then we started attending, which, like many good Lutherans, once I was confirmed in the ninth grade, I left the church and decided it wasn't for me, because now I was an adult of the church and I could choose to go, and my choice was no thank you.
Yes.
But some kind encouragement and some wise words from my better half got me to, we started attending a church here in St. Cloud, and they found out that I was a drummer.
I know where this is going.
And mind you, I had not picked up a pair of drumsticks or mallets or anything for 3 years, because I was too afraid and it was too painful. And so they asked me, would you be even willing to at least try and play? Mind you, I'd also never played drum set really, because I studied classical and orchestral percussion in college.
Oh, okay.
That was my jam. I spent 6 to 8 hours a day every day playing marimba in a practice room, not drum set. They are two different beasts. And if you want some demonstration, you can check out my YouTube page. They're both on there.
Yeah. I totally didn't picture that coming. I did not see that coming, bro.
So still my favorite performance place to play is actually with a symphony orchestra, because it's
nice.
So high level and intentional, and you have to be perfect. And so that's one of my favorite places still to play. So we started attending that church. They got me to play one time, and I was scared to death, mind you. what I found out after that first Sunday of playing, because I didn't want to practice a lot because I knew that I only had one shot. If it was going to hurt, I was going to make it for the 20 minutes. Josh, you know, kind of a worship set in the beginning of a church service can be anywhere from, well, let's say 15 to 30 minutes, depending on your particular, where you're attending and or how
spiritual. Unless you're at, what is it, Verdix Church, Elevation. I think their runs are like 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's a whole different ball game. But if you're going to put all that work and effort into it, 45 minutes seems like the minimum that you should get to. Well, I played that first Sunday, and it was the first time that I had played since my surgery that I didn't have pain.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't believe it. So I tried it again a few weeks later. And this time I actually practiced a little bit. And I showed up, and again, it didn't hurt. And I even went back to my college professor and I said, I don't understand this. How can I do everything else and it hurts? But when I don't do this, it doesn't hurt. Or when I play, it doesn't hurt. And he goes, I have no idea. You should be in a lot of pain. And I'm like, well, I'm not. So I'm going to do this. And I started about a 5-year journey of practicing no more than 5 minutes every day to be able to play on Sundays. And I was playing 3 out of 4 Sundays a month
for
a number of years. And because of that, I also then decided that I wanted to play music professionally. And so started playing with local bands and playing on the weekends. Again, kind of wondering, could I even do it? Because now we went from a 20 to 35 minute sort of playing experience to 3 1-hour sets of intensity and energy and things going on.
Yeah.
And I could still do that. And so I was like, okay, this is a God thing. This is where I'm supposed to be going. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I spent about the next 7 to 10 years learning my craft, because I spent so much time in the classical world. Drum set wasn't my world. It was like speaking a brand new different language. And so I had to learn that craft. And I spent that time and I did those things and played in multiple different bands and live music situations and gave myself as many opportunities to grow and learn. And then I got up to about where I was playing about 125 to 135 shows a year.
Solid.
Which is usually between a Thursday, Friday, Saturday sort of situation. So you can work the math backwards however you want. I think I worked about 42 to 43 weekends a year. So lots of weekend travel and weekend things going on. But I started to notice that I started to fatigue after that much. Because you can imagine that's, you know, a good 12 hours of playing just on the weekend plus rehearsal times.
Yeah.
So as I began to do that, I found a teacher out east. His name is Daniel Glass, and he is my playing savior, so to speak. He changed my entire way of playing, kind of transformed my technique and all those kinds of things, and taught me how to use my body and my person to play and facilitate all of those things. Without going to too many nitty-gritty details for people who are non-drummers and non-workers in the music industry, after 3 years of taking literally only Skype lessons from him, because he lives in New York, I could tell that my playing had changed, and it has now and had now changed literally forever. So if you can imagine me being scared about playing for 20 minutes and not wanting to practice for a whole week, now I can practice 2 to 3 hours every day during the week. And I can play as many shows as I want and do whatever I want.
Dude, come on, somebody.
No pain, no fatigue, other than just literally my physical body, because let's face it, I'm not getting any younger. My age seems to keep going up. So I celebrate that all of the time. And as you kind of learn in the music business and through becoming more just only now freelance drumming. So it's kind of on a higher basis. They call me to play. I'm not mm-hmm. any part of any particular band, just because that is the opportunity that I wanted to create for myself. It gave me all these other creative outlets. I started getting really interested in songwriting and producing music because in college, the major that I switched to from performance was actually theory and composition. So
okay.
composing. So in college, I composed for string quartets and choir and orchestra and percussion ensemble and kind of all of those classical things, but never had done anything with songwriting. And it's a very different ballgame. And so I got into songwriting, and because of the creative piece from composing, I really love the producing part and bringing people together and the synergy of creating music collaboratively with people has really given me an opportunity to work with people literally all over the world because of the internet.
And that's a beautiful thing. Like, I'm going to chime in here real quick because I know exactly, like, from a live production standpoint, through just working at my church with the media team there, Celebrate Recovery on Tuesday nights, I was doing the live production for them when we were in our studio setup. They moved us to a temporary room because we're getting too big. Come on. They took away all my toys. Dude, I got a backpack PA system unit that I'm running right now.
Wow.
Coming from a QL5.
Oh, that's very different.
You know, but no, when you have three people up on stage, your drummer, your bass, like when you have a full team up there and being able to bring them all into unison and just get them harmonized just right, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, I spent a number of years on the road being a front of house guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always consider the front of house people as the fifth musician of the group, because they are what really makes the magic happen out front for the person listening. So I mean, I love both sides of the speakers, so to
yeah,
speak.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so sorry to interrupt you.
No, totally.
I totally threw the whole train.
So where do we leave off? Oh, into producing and songwriting and collaborating. I created my recording studio here at home, basically to collaborate with people all over the world. Rarely do I actually have people come into my studio to create tracks.
Okay.
Unless they're a vocalist or something of that nature, then typically I will have them come here. But otherwise, I hire people from all over the U.S. to play on tracks and then send them to me, because I believe that finding the right people for the song is more important than just hiring another guitar player or another bass player or another keyboard player. And so because of making lots of network connections and lots of travel over mm-hmm. the last 10 years between Nashville and LA and Texas and New York, I've built just a really great network of people in all of those kind of music meccas,
yeah. as
some people like to call them, with the best players. And the best part about that is they're just my friends, and I get to hire them, which I think is cool. And so I'm serving my client by also serving my friends and giving them an opportunity to feed their families and keep their doors open and do all of those kinds of things.
That really is an amazing aspect to it. Being right. able to have that community, that table, that circle that you can just pour into.
And can just continue to give back. And, you know, music is better in community.
It's oh, absolutely.
To, you know, it's meant to be listened to and created with others, not just all on your own in a silo. I think it's interesting. I was having a conversation with Robert Nelson a few weeks mm-hmm. ago, and we talk about the laptop world of, like, these youngsters, like these, I call them bedroom producers, and that actually is a thing now, I think. But basically, anybody with a laptop and Logic or Pro Tools can produce a record. And that is 100% true. There are countless very well successful artists out there right now that have done just that. Laptop in an apartment and now they're winning Grammys and writing James Bond theme music.
Not to get too particular.
We're not name dropping today, Josh. We're just talking about the experience of growing
from yes.
our creative opportunities.
I agree with that. But no, dude, laptop culture is a big thing. Like even me, I'm 100% on the move all the time. And for me, like that's just how I operate. So it's good. Like I take Ezra to school in the morning. Then I go hit up, typically I'll hit up Panera. And then for the first few hours of the day, I'm there. And then it gets to a point where like, okay, I need to go for my walk. And I'll go for a walk around the lake. And then I'll be like, okay, I'm going to go over to Starbucks and finish out the day. Like, or wherever, like, you know what I mean? Just that change of pace that I need in my mind to clear.
I totally get that. I do that like between April and October here. Cause right now it's like 12 degrees and it feels like zero. So we'll save the Starbucks patio and the Panera for a couple months yet.
Hey, you know what? Yesterday, I know it's not the same. Oh man, we're hitting 70 right now. That's a blessing. Yesterday I woke up. I went to go take Ezra to school. I get in. I'm like, okay, my foggers will come on in just a second. Let me turn on my windshield wipers. And then all of a sudden it's like, shh, shh. I'm like, oh my God, my windshield is frozen.
Oh my.
Yes, in South Florida, bro.
Oh, well.
It puts us in perspective. Good. We're like an hour north of West Palm Beach.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it was in like the upper 20s. Yeah, it was abnormal. Yeah.
You'll get through it.
I know. But we got live this week and they scheduled live and the weather said, okay, I'm going to show up too. Cold front said, I'm coming.
Yeah, it's supposed to be cool down there this week.
Yeah, they're calling for snow on Wednesday, I believe.
Yowza. You can keep it. Yeah. I mean, we got 2 feet up here already, so it can stay down there for a while.
And I want to move there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'll be great.
No, it will. It will. And that gets back to the community aspect, right?
Yes.
Like, we know the community that I'm going to have around us as we move out there.
Right. And all the support that you're going to have. And
right. Much like the community that you have built in your music production.
Right. Yeah. Which is the beauty of it is it continues to grow and kind of reach its fingers out farther and farther. And I think the cool part is, you know, the community that we're also part of, which, you know, I think this is awesome that we're talking today because you are physically the first person that I talked to after I came into the Apex community 4 months ago. Yeah, 4 months ago. So I'm grateful to be sitting here talking to you yet again, which is awesome. But just your enthusiasm and your connectivity and your servant's heart to reach out was awesome. And really kind of catapulted my opportunity inside of here, which I want to bring these music people into because that community piece is what it's all about and helping each other.
Yeah. And you know, getting back to the servant, like we talk about it all the time in the group that the more you serve, the more will come. Well, hold on. There's another way that they say it. Not what you reap, you sow, because everybody knows that one. Oh my God, I can't think about it.
Oh, I know which one you're talking. It's the, if you help everybody else get what they want.
Yes.
You'll have everything out, everything you could ever want.
Yes. That's the one.
Yeah. That's a little zig for you on a Tuesday morning.
It is Tuesday. Is it still morning?
Good.
No, it's afternoon now.
It's 11 here. So we'll use central time morning for the cases of my statement.
Oh my gosh. So that's a crazy story, crazy backstory. Now you're music producing. You're doing other things though too, right? The Realty and the coffee brand and
yep. I just celebrated 1 year of holding my real estate license, which I'm super excited about. That was definitely a pandemic what am I going to do while I'm hanging out here? And I've always have had an interest, and it kind of aligns with this kind of business entrepreneur sort of mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I got nothing else to do, so let's do it. The class is all online anyway. And so I did that the fall of 2000.
Okay.
November, December of 2000, then 21, received my in January. And so I literally just celebrated a 1 year of holding my license. And that turned out to be such an awesome experience. Again, just with the idea and the mentality to help others. Because what I realized is I could help everybody with real estate, but I couldn't necessarily help everybody produce something with music. Not everybody has resources and or the want and need to create some sort of song or produce and release an album, which is like less than 2% of the population. Well, 100% of the population needs some sort of help, knowledge, or experience with somebody that can talk to them about real estate. And so I'm like, I can help way more people. And the coffee just came because I drink a lot of coffee every day. And I have a friend who owns a roastery in a town about 30 miles away. And I was like, what if we created my own blend? He's like, let's do it. So I spent a year and a half trying it out, and now it feeds my coffee addiction because I can buy my own coffee because I like it. And then I give it away. I use it as gifts or I send it as thank yous. And yes, it's for sale. However, let's not call it a business. Let's call it it serves my needs in terms of the coffee I'm going to drink already. And that's it.
Yeah, I tell you what, dude. Guys, I got a special care package from Jeremy myself with his coffee in it. And thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The bottle opener was a unique touch.
Well, you send a care package because you know, not everybody drinks coffee. Somebody might need a bottle opener.
Yeah. Jones Soda, right?
Yeah.
Totally, Jones Soda.
You have kids. You probably can actually still get soda in bottles down there. So,
yeah. I know, oh gosh, for a while, the church that we're part of is not a small church by any stretch of the imagination. But they had pallets upon pallets of the Coca-Cola bottles from Mexico.
Wow.
The tall, skinny ones.
Mm-hmm.
And bro, we were like crushing those things.
Sounds amazing.
And sometimes, where's the bottle opener? And I'd just be like, you know what? I got one in my back pocket. Here we go. Shrewd reality.
There you go.
Yes. No, dude, you know, the music is a big thing. And we're going to tie that. I want to tie that into mindset here real quick, because I always grew up on music. And to case in point that, I grew up listening to music while I slept. So I've developed this knack for catching on to song lyrics really, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And memorizing songs, and people laugh at me. They're like, dude, what, you know every song that's going to play? And I'm like, kind of, sort of, maybe, almost.
Many of them, yes.
Many of them. Across many different genres. Rap, hip hop, R&B, rock, classic, country, alternative. I mean, yeah, I'm not particular when it comes. Music fits a mood.
Ugh, I love that you just said that.
Music fits a mood. Like when I would get into a funk, it was always hands down Linkin Park.
Oh, good choice.
It was always hands down Linkin Park, just because I knew I could rock out and just put all that pent up aggression out in. And dude, when I'm driving in the car, like, it is a one man concert at that point. And if I'm feeling in a real good mood, And like the right song comes on, somebody's next to me, I will roll down my window and I just start singing to them just to put a smile on their face.
And it will do that.
Mm-hmm.
One, your positive gesture, which people don't get enough of.
No, we don't.
I play a smiling game every time I'm walking down the road or the sidewalk or something like that to see how many people I can get to smile by just smiling at them and how many weird looks you can get because people are just confused. Like, why are you smiling at me? It's a good day. I want to smile at you. That's okay. And then you add the music to it. So it's like you're hitting them twice, which is even better.
The best one, we were coming up Port St. Lucie Boulevard here, and I had just picked up Nadine, our daughter, from school, and we were rocking out, windows down, music cranked. I put on Great Balls of Fire, but there was a song, Sweet Caroline. So we went from Sweet Caroline to Great Balls of Fire, but there was this guy, and kind of like it was kind of a jerk move because he was on the phone, but I just kept going like nobody's business. And then I switch, I'm like, okay, I can't get attention, so I switched to Great Balls of Fire. And then by the time we start getting ready to move, he's like, that was my wife on the phone and she is over there dying, thank you.
So it was a win, a double win.
It did end up being a win. But it's like somebody rolls up to you when you're on the phone and all that music going, it's like no, it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah, well, good. Thank God that it was the win then, right? It could have gone the other way for sure. I like that you talk about just like music could change your mood and change your mind. So here's a little knowledge drop for you. The brain is actually over 50% of the known parts of the brain, right? Because we don't actually know all of the parts of the brain. So over 50% of the known parts of the brain, when we listen to music, is ignited and consumed. Okay?
Okay.
So the close, so on both halves, right and left.
Okay.
The closest thing to it is like when someone is doing really, really hard math and it is only going to be one side and it's about, let's just say, between 15 and 20%.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah, they're not even in the same galaxy as far as I'm concerned, which is why when people are like, I'm just really struggling, I'm like, you need to do two things. You need to just put on music. It honestly doesn't matter what it is. If it's something you like, clearly it's better. But put headphones on, and then more importantly than putting the headphones on, close your eyes. The reason I say to close your eyes is because we hear 80% of what we hear with our eyes. Because we're hearing all of the things that we see, but when we remove the sight, all we can do is hear. And so if you think about it from that standpoint, all your brain can focus on, because 50% of it is being taken over, which is more than anything else you do in your entire life,
mm-hmm.
all it can do is be consumed by the music. Now, please don't do that when you're driving. That's always my one
disclaimer.
I have to give the disclaimer of please do not do while driving, unless you're parked in a car in a parking lot where you're not moving.
Well, then you wouldn't be driving. But let me throw in their disclaimer. The content creator of this podcast and its guests have no liability in your decision to close your eyes while you drive.
Thank you.
But no, it's crazy. And getting back to that whole sleeping with the music thing, you know, I started applying that to podcast episodes, bro.
You told me that.
And that has changed the mindset even more. Like, while I'm sleeping is when I listen to those certain ones. But it's crazy how our brain functions at that level. From an audit, let's just take it for an auditory standpoint as a whole.
Yep.
Specifically right now, there's this dude, Adam Cox. He runs he's the hypnotist. And but his episodes are very meticulously detailed. So like, you want to stop smoking, he's got one. You got inner child issues, he's got one. You want to lose weight, he's got one. He's got like 400 episodes, bro. He did one on the Matrix.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, red pill, blue pill. Ooh. And Avatar. Okay, I'm going off the rails here.
That's all right. This is what happens when we talk about music. Everybody goes off the rails. It's just what happens.
But it's so important, and so, and especially in today's society, in today's culture, like COVID and separation and it's just, we need more light in our life.
Yes.
And for me, music is that light.
And what better to make your day awesome than listening to your favorite playlist?
Absolutely.
And do yourself one better. Share it with somebody. Because part of what I try to do, and like you, I have an extremely eclectic listening palette.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, this morning I went from Cody Jinks to Atmosphere, which is like a Minneapolis-based hip-hop artist, similar to like Eminem, from Outlaw Country. And then like before our podcast, I was listening to some like chill beats, kind of office relaxation playlist.
Nice.
So like, and I actually got that from Kyle Reed. He sent me a link. He's like, dude, you got to check this out. I roll this all day in my office. And now I do for half my day too. It's fantastic. And it's just like, there's no way to know all of the things that we can even experience in music. So the more we do this, the more we can share it. And it just, it makes your day better.
It does. It does. But it feeds the happy.
As adults, we forget that it was that powerful when we were kids. Yeah. How did you learn your ABCs?
Song.
How did you learn counting? How did you learn verbs? How did you learn?
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill.
So, you know what I mean? So we grow up doing everything with it.
Yeah.
And then we go so far away from it that we forget that we built our childhood on it.
Oh my God. That's wild. And so true. I'm thinking like, yeah, I grew up, dude. I wanted to be okay. So, dang it. I was a country boy growing up, and then the rebel phase started. And that's when I found BMG Music and realized that I could get the adult version of CDs delivered to my house for 99 cents.
Yep. You can do
but
that.
Like growing up, I wanted to be like that Garth Brooks. That's where I was.
Awesome. And now it's what?
Now my playlist ranged from everything from NF to Tupac to Linkin Park and everything in between. Some Eagles in there, some John Anderson. I mean, we could
go for days.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in my mom was big 60s, 70s live music type deal. So All the big events like the Great Pretenders out of Ohio, where we followed them like everywhere around town. They were playing, we were there.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was a celebration, and it was, you always felt good when you left.
Yeah. Especially going through the hard times, right?
Right. Especially those dark times.
So before we get too caught up here.
Yeah.
There's a couple things I want to talk about. First off, for people that are in that dark spot, that light is lost, like it's barely flickering at this point, candle's almost out, what's the biggest piece of advice that you would give them?
I think the biggest piece of advice would be to just listen. Sometimes just listening means listening to the silence or the sound of your own breath. Sometimes it's listening to something really intentional. I like to use music because that's where I go and that's the space that I live in. But be intentional. And the comma that I would add to that would be, don't feel like you have to overdo it. Start small. The light took a long time to get dim. So it can take a long time for it to again get bright. So take it in small doses. When I started building my hand back up, when I was in the darkest moments of that, I committed to 2 minutes every day. 120 seconds. That's it. I entered in it, and then I also left it, but I didn't come back. So I think about it from that standpoint. Just take that time, but be intentional about it.
Awesome. And the book, let's talk about the book real quick.
Real quick. We got two more weeks.
I don't want to go too far over on time here. I know we're getting close, but
yeah. So the book,
The
Road to 99 is a journey of being a music songwriter and writing 99 songs. And what does that take? What does that look like? And what are all the pieces that are actually part of it? My studio is called Empty Page Studios because every song begins from an empty page.
Ooh.
And so it's talking about beginning from an empty page and putting music out into the world, which is all about struggle. It's about hard work. It's about being intentional. It's about showing up. It's about being vulnerable with other people when you're songwriting and collaborating. And then it's the ultimate in courage and vulnerability to release a song into the world and let others hear it. It's the scariest and most exciting thing in the world. Similar to writing and releasing a book. Which I know you know a thing or two about, my friend.
Yes.
So that's the 15-second elevator version of what that book is about. It's slotted for, at this point, probably a mid-April to May release.
Okay. So we will be on the lookout, and as soon as that link drops, we will attach it to the bio on this.
Perfect.
That way people see it, because that's what we're here to do, too. We're here to promote you.
Yes.
Talk about you and your life. Talk about you and your story and how you make an impact on the world around you, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to be great. And sometimes we need those leaders, or not sometimes, we always need those leaders around us to guide us on that journey.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And even those leaders need leaders.
Yes. I was always raised under the philosophy, you need to have your hands stretched out in front of you and behind you. You need to be pulling somebody up, and you need to be reaching out for somebody in front of you.
I love that image.
Thanks.
That's fantastic.
I can't remember where I picked it up from, but I picked it up somewhere and it stuck. It's like, it makes so much sense.
I love it.
Yeah. But don't let the people behind you become a burden on you at the same time. That you gotta be careful on that. Yeah.
You're pulling them up to you.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. No, I agree. That's a slippery slope. One I've slid down a time or two.
Oh, for sure.
And we all have, and that's part of learning, right? That's part of us being good leaders, is knowing where that lines.
Yeah, those boundaries are. You know, I was talking to somebody today, and they were like, we were talking about boundaries. And it was like, we don't set clear boundaries. Mm-mm. Because clear boundaries can be seen through. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, no. We set bold boundaries. I'm like, oh.
So that's like almost setting like a rock down in the sand then.
Yeah.
I like that.
Instead of a plexiglass wall.
Yes.
Because what good is a plexiglass wall?
Right. I'm a drummer. I play behind those a lot, so I know a thing or two about plexiglass walls.
The fishbowl. What is it? I mean, is it like, I always see our guy at church in the big fishbowl. I mean, it's got to be toasty in there.
The one that I play in regularly has the back open.
Okay.
And so I do get airflow from there, but I have played in some actual fishbowls, as you are calling them. And yes, they're quite hot, and usually there's a fan in there.
Oh man, that's it. Just a fan.
That's it.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not me.
That's all you get.
I sleep and it's got to be 60 degrees.
Yeah. No, it's not 60. Not even close.
So, Jeremy, where does everybody connect with you?
You know, the easiest place, which it's in the process of being rebuilt, but it is still there. JeremyShrifles.com is
okay.
My website. You can reach me there. Otherwise, my Facebook is probably the easiest, just Jeremy Shrifles, or I do have a real estate page, so that all that stuff stays in its space. And I do have a producer page, so some of that stuff stays in that space.
Awesome. And guys, that is S-C-H-R-E-I-F-E-L-S.
That is correct.
Yes. I want to make sure they get connected with you because you are an amazing person, and I am glad that we are brothers.
Oh, I'm so thankful for today and our conversation, and all of our conversations over the last 4 months have been amazing.
It's been a journey, bro. It's been a journey.
It's only just begun. That's the beauty of it.
Right? Who knows? I don't know, but I know where I want it to go. But where we want it to go and where it ends up are two different people's things.
Right. Well, I'm already looking forward to 2024 and being on that stage speaking with you.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
It's already going to happen.
We're building it, bro. Building it. All right, guys. Thank you, Jeremy, for your time today. And guys,
thank you.
Remember, make your day awesome. Have an awesome day.